Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, August 7th, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my spaced out twin brother, John Abaya.
To Station One, this is Odin. This is me, John Abaya, in space. Do you hear me?
Wait, you're contacting Odin?
No, this is Odin. We're talking contacting Earth right now.
Oh, okay.
Over?
Copy that.
Okay, we're returning to space right now, and we're about to enter Earth's atmosphere. And I don't know why my voice sounds like this, but when I enter
Probably
Earth,
because the lack of oxygen.
Oh, yes, the lack of oxygen. Yeah. You know, I don't have a helmet on and everything. And
well, you're probably going about to die right now.
Yeah, metal. Let's just take off the helmet.
My voice changed when I take off my helmet. Weird how space does that. I hear. You can't hear people talk or scream or something like that?
In space, I think you can't hear everything except for
explosions.
The Star Trek Enterprise
beats
and guns.
Oh, and watch out for big words or something like that?
Floating. Anything with space, with wars, I feel like, or battles, you could hear all that stuff. I think that's how science works, that you could hear the lasers and the beams.
Violence, you can hear violence.
Yeah. So space... Space can't hear screams, but they could hear violence towards humankind. Anyway, how are you, John?
I'm good. It's a lovely day here in California. Another hot day. Summer's winding down, at least, and then off to school for my kids and work. I don't know.
Well, inconveniently, summer is winding down.
Yeah. Wait, what?
I was trying to. Shout out to Al Gore out there.
Oh, yeah, your best friend.
Yeah, doing all the talks to all those important podcasts like WTF Mark Maron and Nerdist.
Wait, he was on WTF too?
Yeah, he's been doing his podcast rounds this past week.
Did he?
Because of his film, The Inconvenient Sequel, The Power to Truth, I believe, or The Power.
Mm-hmm. Mark Maron... like saying, oh, I got two presidents on my podcast. What's up?
Well, the vice president.
Oh, two vice. Oh, yeah, never mind. I forgot. He lost. I forgot about that. Yeah. Sorry.
That is a dark time in American history that some may say that we're repeating right now. Anyway, I don't want to get too political. I just want to say, if you're a fan of The Inconvenient Truth, I haven't watched the film yet, but Al Gore is convincing me to watch The Inconvenient Sequel. So,
okay. Is it called The Inconvenient Sequel?
Yeah, it is called The Inconvenient Sequel.
Oh, wow.
And all those nutty scientists and their whole global warming. I don't know.
So they went the Alvin and Chipmunk route and called it a sequel?
Yeah, the nutty sequel.
The nutty sequel.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Inconvenient Truth, The Nutty Sequel. The Inconvenient Sequel, The Nutty... Squeakle. Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week. We conclude with the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the new adventure game by Fulbright, Tacoma. But before all of that, we do have a teaser trailer talk. This week's teaser trailer talk is the film Mother.
What brings you to us?
Well, they told me I could find a room here.
He thought we were at a bed and breakfast.
He's a stranger.
Hello?
Did you know he had a wife? Who are these people?
They've come here to see me.
Come quick! You're insane! God help you.
So that is a very, very... limited clip of the film Mother. It's stylized Mother, like with the apostrophe.
So the whole time you have to say Mother like that.
I thought you say. The teaser trailer is about 30 seconds long. I think they are going to release it in the coming days, so we might talk about this again. Anyway, it's directed and written by Darren Aronofsky, which is known for the films Noah, Black Swan, The Wrestler, The Fountain, Rec Room for a Dream, and Pi. All of his work has dark and nihilistic undertones, especially Noah. And this is nothing new, but This film seems like it has a dark and nihilistic undertones. The film, from IMDb's plot synopsis, a couple's relationship is tested when uninvited guests arrive at their home, disrupting their tranquil existence. The film stars Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer, and a cast of wonderful and unexpected actors in here, too. I don't want to say, because I feel like once the trailer comes out, the official trailer, you're going to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, John, are you a fan of Darren Aronofsky? And if not, why aren't you? And if you are, how many films have you watched? And if you haven't watched that many films, why not?
So, I haven't really kept up with his work. The only two films that I watch is Rec Room with a Dream and what was the other one? The Pie. That's the only two. I never watched The Fountain, Black Swan.
You watched his first two films.
Yes, his first two films. And I really think
probably, I have enough of this guy's stories and plots. They're too dark for me, and you quit.
Yep, that's exactly how it was. And basically, yeah, I never watched any films. I tried to start watching, like, The Fountain, and then for some reason I had no time, and then The Wrestler, and after that, I'd never really gone back to any of his other films. Black Swan and Noah. I think he had like those last two, right?
Wrestler.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Wrestler.
Which is, I feel like you would really appreciate, mm-hmm. for someone who's watched wrestling in the past, WWF stuff. Mm-hmm. You appreciate that film.
But judging this trailer, it looks like a straight up horror movie. I don't know, because his other movies never felt like a horror movie, but I see even the trailers. This one looks like a horror movie the way it's shot, and the way, like, the opening scene of this little teaser trailer of Jennifer Lawrence just walking around the house, an empty house, it looks like. And she opens the door, the front door, and I don't know, I saw like a little foot or a baby's arm. It looked like someone was carrying a baby. And then all of a sudden you get these like really fast scenes of just people, things, like not things, people. I think you see, what's his name? Adrian.
Quick shots.
Yeah, shots. Javier Bardem. How do you say his last
Javier
name?
Javier Bardem.
Yeah, Bardem is in it, you can see. And then there's a scene like with fire and the fly and all this. Like,
I think there's a scene with Ed Harris somewhere.
Yes. It's very like just everywhere, the scenes. But it just reminds me of like a horror movie. And I wonder why is it called Mother? So the guest that comes in is the mother of her, or it would be kind of weird if this is like a weird, oh, she's my mother-in-law and I don't like my mother-in-law. So she's just, you know, and this is everyone's worst nightmare. The mother-in-law is staying over type movie. I don't know. And then they make it into like a weird artsy horror film. It seems like it, but yeah, it looks interesting. The horror aspect really is the thing that makes me more interested in this film.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Darren Aronofsky. I don't think he's an underrated director. I think he's one of those directors where he makes a lot of films that are a little bit moody, and you have to get into it. Like, you can't be like this happy-go-lucky person and watch one of his films. I feel like you need a little darkness in your soul.
Yeah, yeah.
To watch his films. But yeah, like even Noah, which is like a biblical tale, he still has like those dark and nihilistic undertones. And I think it works well with Noah. I highly recommend it. I think Noah is like a underrated film. Especially if you're religious, I feel like you need to watch that just so you know the perspective of someone who isn't religious and how they view like your religious backgrounds and whatnot, or like the stories that are told from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I'm really interested in this film. I think he's going towards the horror route more because I feel like his films always evoke horror, and he never displayed it in a way where it's like a slasher. I don't know if he's going to go for that in this film, but you do see some shots of like death and something ridiculous is happening that looks like it's violently ridiculous in the film. Touching on his other films, I think he has this way of telling films without being too gruesome and violent, but it still has like, you know, you still, when you leave the theater, you feel like there's something violent happened when there's nothing really. I want to give a quick shout out to his cinematographer. He's been in, for all his films. His name is Matthew Labiqui. I think I'm like not pronouncing that name. But anyway, he is a Filipino who is a Filipino American who's been on his films. I think I talked about him in the past. But he's like one of those guys I look up to when it comes to cinematography because he has a unique eye when he frames the films. And like if you look across all of Darren Aronofsky films, they have this unified look. And I feel like most directors don't usually use the same cinematographers. Only like directors who are much of like on tours, like, you know, Nolan, Snyder, Tarantino, mm-hmm. Like Ava DuVernay, she uses like her same cinematographer throughout her films. But yeah, like I'm really looking forward. I'm actually just looking forward to the full release trailer. I think this is his Oscar run film where I think he's going to release it during Oscar season and try to get like a nomination here and there with Jennifer Lawrence. So what do you think of Jennifer Lawrence? I think her popularity has been going down, John. I don't know if people are ready for her again.
Yeah, I feel the same. I guess her popularity is going down. I'm not a huge fan of her. I didn't really mind her in the X-Men films, but I feel like her status is overshadowed a lot in her movies, like X-Men films. Like her character Mystique isn't like a big character. Like she's not like a, not in the movie. I mean, like in the comics, they play up like she's like a founding member of the X-Men, kind of, in a weird way. I don't know, but I always hear like from comic book people, like she isn't that type of person, the X-Men. That's why those movies always ruin, because they're not really following like the character traits or something. Like that's just the X-Men film. I don't mind her in other.
How about films. The Hunger Games?
I don't know. I probably watched the first. The first one is where they're running into like in water or something like that.
That is almost every film, I think.
They do that every film. Okay.
Yeah, I think something with water is in place, and they had to run from away or mm-hmm. into water.
Yeah. I did not know that. I thought it was only. I thought in the first movie they were just in the jungle, and then the second one is in the sand, and the other one is like, you know, like the other movie, The Wall or something. I forgot what it was called.
I don't know. The Maze Runner.
Yeah, Maze Runner. Right. When I just said The Wall, you knew exactly what I was talking about.
Well, because I know like it's not the Matt Damon vehicle, The Wall. Wall, I think I was thinking.
Oh, okay, The Great Wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My Jennifer Lawrence, I guess, liking, I like her in the beginning. I think she says some controversial things here and there just to be controversial. And I think I got really like bothered by the things she says. I don't know if it's just her not thinking all the way through of her comments, but I like her as an actress. I think she's a really great actress, and I think she's young still. I think she just needs more experience when it comes to the public, her things saying in the public. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I am looking forward of like Javier Bardem and Ed Harris and Michelle Pfeiffer, who I haven't seen in a while. So looking forward to that. I think she is probably playing the mother.
She is? Mother-in-law of Javier Bardem.
She's Jennifer Lawrence's mother then.
No. Probably, yeah. And then why is she, I guess, yeah, and she's like a really bad mother. We can just do the whole plot of the movie.
No, it's okay.
And it turns out to be like the twist in The Visit or something.
No. Initially, I thought they remade the Korean film.
Oh, yeah, same here. Yep.
Yeah, but they didn't. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that is mother explanation point. I'm not sure when is that. I think it's probably going to come out during this Oscar season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we might do a main discussion of that. Oh, here is, it's September 15th, so it's coming soon quick, actually. Mm-hmm.
Has Jennifer Lawrence ever been in the musical?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't think of one right now. Yeah, I don't think so.
So we never really hear her sing before?
I feel like she has actually with that one guy. He's in two films with her, Enjoy and another film.
Bradley Cooper?
Like dancing around. Huh?
Bradley Cooper?
Yeah, like I have this thing where they're dancing in my mind.
You sure it's not the other couple? Never mind. I was thinking about
Emma Stone and
La La Land. Yeah. But yeah, speaking of musicals, Ben.
Oh, it's Silver Linings Playbook. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a great musical.
That's the one they're dancing. I was like thinking, like, why are they dancing? Anyway, yeah, yeah. Speaking of mothers, what have you been doing lately? Or no, speaking of musicals.
Musicals, yeah, the other M. Well, the other M, not Samus or whatever.
Well, they say most musicals, to make it a musical, you need an explanation point.
Oh, yes. In most of the things, like Hamilton, that one. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But that's a little reference to what you're going to be talking about next. So what have you been listening?
So I've been listening to a new podcast. It's on the Earwolf Network, the ones that do Call Me Bang Bang or How Does This Get Made and whatnot. They do a lot of improv type of podcasts. And this is their new one that launched a couple weeks ago. And it's with Jessica McKenna and Zach Reno. I know Jessica McKenna from Call Me Bang Bang. She does a lot of great impressions. I can't name them, but she's like a newcomer. Also Zach Reno too. They're very new to me in the improv scene, and I just fell in love with them in this their brand new podcast called Off Book.
Ooh, guys, that was hard, but I'm glad I did it. Oh, your kids are coming up.
Oh no.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, sweetheart.
Did you hear my solo?
I did. And it hurt my ears.
What?
Made my ears feel bad.
What?
Watching you try and fail so totally bad. It made me really sad. So why don't you stop what you're doing? I wish we could take back this night.
Oh my God.
If you think that that was okay, then you were definitely not right.
Drive me home, all right?
Nope, find your own way home.
Wait, what?
And that was a clip from their first episode with Paul F. Tompkins called Shrugging Destiny. Yeah, you can catch that right now on Earwolf and streaming, I think, right now on any podcast device. But yeah, I have to say, Ben, are you a fan of musicals?
Am I a fan of musicals? That's what my brother said. I don't know how to react to him. So I'll just bow my head.
Okay. I don't know. I'm kind of speechless, Ben. I didn't see that coming at all. Are you a fan of improv?
Oh, am I a fan of improv? Yes, I am a fan of improv.
Okay. And you smush them off together and you get off book. And it's a great new podcast.
What does the term off book mean?
So I did some research of it. I cannot pinpoint where they got that title. Like I
know where it came from.
Oh, really? Tell me.
Basically, it works in the favor of them because they're improv musical. But when actors are off book, that means they're not reading from the script.
Oh, okay. I literally put off book musicals. I didn't even think of it as an improv thing. I thought it would
be... No, it's for actors.
Oh, okay.
When you're rehearsing, the director would say, let's do the scene off book. Let's do the scene without scripts with you.
Like a Duplass Brothers film?
Yeah. Oh, no. They do improvise. The difference between improvise and off book is they're just directors just asking you not to read from the script.
Oh, okay.
And just rise the script from off.
Yeah. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. So,
memory.
You guys don't know what improv is. Basically, most of the time, it's actors basically playing off one another. There's no script or anything. They're just, it's off the dome, the kids say, I guess. Is that a thing that kids say? I don't know. My kid says it a lot. He's always, it's off my dome, Dad.
But that's a thing.
He starts talking about math and reading. He's like, it's off the dome, Dad. I was like, oh yeah, okay, whatever, son.
Yes.
But yeah.
That reminds me of, never mind. It's a Gangstar song.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Is he listening to Gangstar, Ben?
Yeah, probably.
That's great.
Shout out to Guru. Rest in peace.
Yes. So yeah, Jessica McKenna. She is wonderful, and Zach Reno is wonderful. I have no idea how well they can sing and improvise at the speed of how this podcast moves. Because they also, I'm forgetting the guy who plays the piano. I totally forgot that person's name, but he does a great job providing the music. It's live too. It's a similar podcast if you guys are familiar to Spontaneous Nation with Paul Tompkins. So it's basically, there's a guest on the podcast, on each episode, and that the guest will tell a story, a small little, you know, bit about him in the first 5 to 10 minutes, and then they basically play off of that, and the whole world is built upon the guest's reaction or the story that he tells in the beginning, or he or she tells in the beginning. And yeah, and then they just dive into like a 30 minute to an hour musical with some, like, you know, breaks and intermission, but they don't stop. They just go on and on. And there is, you know, they're like, just like any other musical, a story beat of what's happening with the character and how. And most of the time, all the musicals are very inspirational. Even though it is a improv type musical, they catch every moment. And I listened to all three episodes back to back to back. And it was like during a day that was very like, oh, I don't want to be here I don't want to be here at work. So I listened to it at work. And it was kind of nice just hearing their like very hopeful and inspirational podcast that I did not, and very, very, hilarious, just improv from everyone, and how they can just go to one scene to the next without skipping a beat. And I just love that about how this podcast is, like, just the format of this podcast is very, like, cool to me. And I want more people to know about this, because I feel like this is one of those podcasts that is so different from anything that I've listened to in the last, you know, 5 years since podcasts or not even five, like 10 years almost for me listening to podcasts that I'm just like, want more people to listen to it. So Ben, can you listen to the podcast for me? And then, you know, be a fan.
What do you mean? Just listen to it.
Like, be a fan of this podcast for me. I'm not going to try to sing.
Oh, I'm not going to try to do it again. I feel like in the first episode, they allude where Paul F. Tompkins said, like, as long as you make that one rhyme in the music, improvised music, it's really good. And I already did my one rhyme.
Mm-hmm. And then a lot of them, most of the guests in the first three episodes are very new to this type of style of improv. They're all improv people, but it's very new because you have to sing and then go with the beat in mind and do, I don't know, like, the lingo of musicals, but they have to transition in smoothly enough where it makes sense.
That's like, so, yeah, they use that. Okay, in all, like, theater and musical and film, they
I really hope that, best. I really hope that, what's his name? Oh, God, I forgot his name. The guy who made Hamilton. Oh, I feel ashamed.
Lin-Manuel. Yeah, Miranda.
Yeah, I hope he
makes a guest appearance on there. Yeah,
that would be like,
he's really good at rapping already.
Yep. And, yeah. And then even what I've heard what I've heard throughout different podcasts, Jessica McKenna is great at rapping, freestyle rapping, and it's always different every time she raps. So I just want to see that.
Yeah, I'm really delighted to hear and listen to this podcast. I accidentally skipped the second one.
Okay.
Because I think I was listening to the first one when you recommended it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I like updated, I think I went to the third one and I was like, wait, is there two or three? And then I looked through it and there was three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all funny and they're really well put together. While you were talking, I was actually trying to research the pianist, but I don't know his name.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to search that.
I forgot his name. Yep. I was trying to look at their like website, and then they don't, you know, have that name, his name on the thing. I don't know if there's a different person every time, but he's really talented. Like, transitioning into one song to the next is really good.
He just doesn't use piano. He also has like a little beat machine at one point with the drums and everything. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
A drum
like,
machine.
Yeah.
And then the third episode, which is really, really funny, involves pirates and whatnot.
Yes.
I think everything about that, I was like literally surprised about everything. I was like, whoa, what did that person just say?
Yeah.
Just rhyme this word with this word. But yeah, they're fantastic singers, both of them. And I'm looking forward I wonder if with this podcast, you know how like most podcasts, especially popular ones, they one point they're going to, make a television show. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they're going to do that with this one. Because I feel like because of Hamilton, it opened up so many minds and hearts towards, like, musicals. And I know, like, for myself, I've been listening to, like, musicals in the past, yeah, ever since Hamilton. Even though, like, I liked musicals in the past, like films, like Chicago and Moulin Rouge and everything, and Grease.
Yes.
And it, with Hamilton, it forced me to, in a good way, to listen to other musicals. And this is really a delight to listen to, especially with comedy.
Yes, and then I'm, like, in a weird kick. We've been watching, especially with the kids, what do you call that? Nightmare Before Christmas is one of them we listen to watch.
Yes.
Rocky Horror Picture Show is one. The one with Rick Morales. Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah. Oh, those are really good ones, actually.
Mm-hmm. And then
I feel like those are the ones that are weird enough and, like, out of its box, mm-hmm, thinking out of the box, that they'll appreciate, like, the ones that are well-known, like Rent, yeah, and Cats and Phantom of the Opera.
Well, those because the ones we pick are more, like, fun in the weird, in a way, like, you know, it's not too much, like Rent, I don't know, it's very, like, you have to understand the politics of, like, not New York, but there's a whole thing with that.
What's Rent. Going on with AIDS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's hard.
You needed to, like, talk about what is AIDS, mm-hmm, and how did HIV start it? Anyway.
But we did introduce them to Les Mis.
Les Mis.
Yeah, that's a
Les
great...
Les Miserables?
Yeah. No, we didn't.
Did they even understand those politics?
No, we never watched that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, that's even more complicated because... Yes.
There's a war here back in the day,
like, historically, yes, so that is Off Book Podcast, which you could listen to it right now on free for any device.
Yes.
On Earwolf, what is it called, Earwolf Nation? I don't know.
No, it's called just Earwolf.
Oh, Earwolf.
Earwolf Nation. Earwolf Nation.
Yeah. Anyway, that leads us to our main discussion. This week's main discussion is a video game from Fulbright. The previous game was Gone Home, if you know them. So it's developed and published from Fulbright. This week's main discussion is a video game, Tacoma.
So you're just giving up?
No.
Hey, Odin.
Yes, Astro.
What should I do?
I just want to go home.
Are you going to be all right?
I don't know what's going to happen to us, Odin.
We're here. Together. That's what matters.
I didn't think things would end like this.
That is a clip from the video game Tacoma. It, for those who don't know, it's developed and published by Fulbright, like I said. The Tacoma is described as being a single-player adventure exploration video game. Its setting is from 2088, and you play a character named Amy, who is assigned by Virtuous to retrieve data and explore from the space station Tacoma. Amy retrieves data by using her AR device, which is a augmented reality, mm-hmm, device, which is also a mechanic in the video game, where we, the player, are allowed to watch and listen to the actions and conversations of other characters. Really quick, here are some of the voice actors in the game. Carl Lumbly, Don Lewis, TJ Ramini, Natasha Loring, Abigail Marlowe, Eva Ladair, Greg Chun, and Sarah Grayson. So the voice of Sarah Grayson is the main character, Amy. If you recognize her voice, she is the voice of Sam in Gone Home, which is character, not the main character, but who Katie's friends is. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
I recognize her voice.
Yeah, so John, you played Gone Home, and you actually finished this game. What's your thoughts, without spoilers, of the game Tacoma?
Before the game, I did not know anything about it. I did not watch anything about it, like no trailers or even video footage, because it was made by Fulbright, I was already all in. Because I trusted them, I really really liked Gone Home when it came out. It was a very touching story. I don't want to spoil that one, but it is at times scary and at touch emotional at the same time. And I have to say, this game is similar to Gone Home, but in space. It plays a lot on the tropes of space, about how there's like this AI commanding the ship, and you're like actually trying to figure out what's happening or what happened on this ship, because you arrive and there's no life on it, and you're trying to figure out throughout throughout the game. You go into these different modules, and basically with the AR, like you said, it helps record the events that happened a couple of weeks ago, or up to, not even a couple of weeks, it goes up to like a year thing. And then there's little moments that the computer can basically get back, and then you can rewind and fast forward a little bit of this little chunk of time, and you can hear the conversations of different members of the crew, but they're not there. They're like ghosts, basically. It feels like you're living on a ship that is just inhabited with ghosts, these six ghosts just walking around, and you're hearing their conversations and hearing their emotion. And just, it's very like kind of sad in a weird way, because you physically don't know these people. You have no idea what happened, and you are figuring out what's happening, and you feel like you're spying, very voyeuristic type of gameplay, because you can see a couple talk about their like life, and then go to the next room, and they continue that same time, and then you see other people talking about something, and if one person walks away, you can follow that person into their room and hear what they're thinking of, or not thinking, but thinking out loud, basically. And then it just feels weird. It just feels like, man, this is they don't know I'm here, they never knew I existed, but I know how their lives are. And it's very like kind of eerie in a weird way, but at the same time, it was nice knowing these characters. I felt like I knew them by the end of the game, of all their lives and their struggles of just living on the spaceship for, I think it was like a year or longer. Some of them have been there for a very long time, and it just takes you, you know, if you live in space and the only people that you know is these six people, it takes a lot like out of you, the stress and everything. Just knowing those stories they've gone through up in space was very nice. Visually, I like the game. It's not the best, like, you know, visual game out there. It's similar to the Unity engine, and it's similar to Gone Home. It's very, at the same time, very realistic, but they have a neat art style at the same time. You can grab any objects almost and then look at it and basically look at, you know, flip it around and investigate what's on the object, or you can just toss it away and stuff like that. There's like minor things you can actually use in the game. There's no guns or anything like that. It's mostly you walking around just investigating what happened on the ship. And yeah, by the time, there's no like music too, I have to mention. There is music, but there's no music cues really. It's you just walking around the ship, and then there are music that the characters listen to, and then those are the music you hear. And the AR mechanic of the game is really helpful. I never really seen this in a game, and I feel like this is the future of like not just games but us, because that's really neat. Like if something can just record you or record everything that you know, and you just have to put in these little two AR little, I don't know, like they're almost like earplugs almost into your temple, I'm assuming, and then you see everything, and that was pretty
earbuds.
Cool. Yeah, earbuds. The story, I tweeted this on my Twitter. It gave me goosebumps at the end, and I never felt that. I was like telling my wife the whole story. And then I almost got really emotional in the ending. Not because something like happened. It's what I experienced. It's like I didn't really experience this type of game before. Like just knowing what happened in the ending, it's like, oh my god, that's really cool and just very interesting how they can get all this emotion out of me. I felt very immersed as this character Amy, and yeah, just overall, I really enjoyed this film. It's probably one of my favorite films. One of my favorite games this year, next to Resident Evil and What was the other game? Oh, Breath of the Wild.
It's funny that you mentioned immersive and film, because last week I talked about like Dunkirk and how Nolan, you know, he directed the film and he used his IMAX cameras because he wanted the audience to be immersive, from the sound design to what you've seen. And then I was thinking to myself, like, you know, like the technology of VR, virtual reality technology, is improving like almost every month. Like there's always this new, you know, thing about virtual reality. And I think with this game, they could implement that technology and using this as a, like a way to create a film that's interactive at the same time, where you are, you could rewind the scenes back and forth or whatever, and then look at how these characters interact with each other and then see each other's, like, you know, backgrounds or whatnot. But unlike Gone Home, which you play like a 20-year-old woman named Katie, you're introduced to this to like other characters in this. And then with like Gone Home, you're introduced with like old cassette tapes, journals, notes, and whatnot. But in Tacoma, we use like the AR device, and we use it in other mediums. We also use other mediums to like empathize with these characters, which is really great. And then, like I said, like a disclaimer for myself, I've only played about one module in the game, which is the personal module. I think how many modules are there altogether, John?
Either 2 to 3 more left.
Okay. Which, I mean, the game is really short. It's about almost like 3 hours long if you want to go through all of it. But I don't even think we are even like 100% it, right?
No, no. Like, so there is like a little achievement thing in the game. So I played it on Steam. And there is like achievements in there. And then there are things I miss I did not realize is in the game. So in the game, you get these little keys to open certain lockers or drawers throughout in the ship. And there's 4 of them, I believe, and I only got 2. And I did not see that. I was like, oh, wow, where are those other 2 keys then if I miss the other 2? Because I really want to know more. I probably will go back and play. I don't know if there is a chapter style save points, but I think you have to like replay the whole game. But I just want to see what those other things I missed.
I think I didn't even come across any keys in the personal module, but with the personal module, that's where most of the characters are introduced, I believe, right, John?
Yeah, all of them are introduced in the... So there's minor spoiler in here. So Tacoma is this huge ship. How far did you go inside the ship? Like, besides the modules, like, you know how there's like a straight line.
But no, I followed the arrows to the personal module.
So you saw the first like scene of the game.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like there's a basketball world, the future basketball court.
Mm-hmm. But did you go into the Odin's dome or Tacoma dome?
No, not yet.
Okay, okay. There's a thing in there I didn't really notice until ending of the game, and then when I went inside there, it gave me a whole new perspective, because if I missed that one little part, I was like, oh, this is interesting. I don't know if that thing is in the beginning or in the ending. It just I found it at the end of the game, so I don't know.
I don't think it's in the beginning, because it's leading you to those personal modules first.
Okay, so. yes yeah. No, but there are signs leading to the Tacoma dome.
I didn't even know
cardboard, and then I didn't enter that dome until ending at the end of the game. So I don't know if there's a different video or whatever, a memory in there. It plays similar to if you guys play Life is Strange, where you can have that rewind factor. But in this one, you're like I said, like you see the ghosts of people.
Yeah, like a ghost ship.
Yes, ghost ship.
Okay.
Event Horizon. What do you
mean? Yeah. There's other games that are like this, similar to this.
Movies, too.
Other films, too. As for what I played, I like the small, intricate like interactions among the characters, how nuanced and delightful they are. You begin to understand people's like motives and also how they affect each other, their relationships, and whether or not like there's something like mysterious among some of them. When like we were talking about films, immediately when I saw that there's a group of people with different backgrounds and cultures, I thought about the film Sunshine, which is directed by Danny Boyle, which came out like more than 10 years ago. And immediately I'm like, wow, this is really cool that I wonder if this is inspired by them, because you don't know what happened to this crew. And in Sunshine, it's like almost exact same plot. Like you are investigating of what happened to the crew. But overall, so far, I'm loving it. There is a sense of uncomfortableness, like you said, of like the eeriness when you are watching the lives of others, especially in intimate moments.
Yes.
Like there's a like a shower scene. There are scenes where a couple characters are really intimate with each other, and it's almost like voyeuristic, like which is feels very like, should I continue this?
Yeah.
Like, let it play on, or but then you want to know the, how the characters are and like whether or not what will happen towards the end and whatnot.
And then visually, I forgot to mention. I think we both forgot to mention. It's like they're not showing like the actual people.
They're little, like polygons.
Yeah, polygons of color. Like there are six of them. So there's like red, blue, whatever, yellow, pink, and so on. And that's all. You don't see any facial features or skin.
You do get an ID from each of them.
Yes, though.
Like you know how they look.
Yes,
like
we know. Yeah,
that, their face. Part. Which they are similar to their voice actor counterparts. Mm-hmm. So, which is really great because I always talk about representation. So, it's not like a black woman is being played by a white woman in here. It's actually, you know, they look similar to their counterparts.
Yes.
Yeah, that looks cool at first when they do introduce that aspect of the game with the polygon, like skeleton polygons. It was kind of weird out. I was like, what is going on? It's kind of creepy because it literally looks like you're just dealing with these like ghost-like figures, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, either way, I really appreciate the ambition that Fulbright has with this game, and I can't wait to finish it. Predicting that I haven't finished the game, but John, will there be a surprise twist?
I don't really want to say it's it, oh, okay. Like I said, it gave me goosebumps at the ending, so I don't know what affects you in like movies or even while you play video games what type of story beats, but this one caught me off guard and it gave me a whole bunch of emotions that I feel like it's a almost an allegory of like what not really allegory, but it's what we'll be facing in the future, like how this technology is progressing and how fast it is. Like 2088, this is where the game is set. Maybe someday this is might be a thing that we have to think about.
I did notice from a few files that I don't know if they're sponsored by actual companies, but there are companies in here. There are fake companies, but there are real companies. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, what is real?
I think these are located, I think, near Oregon or Seattle.
Portland. Fulbright is, Tacoma is in Portland, I think.
Yes.
I mean, Oregon.
Not Tacoma, but you mean Fulbright.
Yeah, Fulbright is in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Tacoma is also in Oregon.
Mm, so there is a lot of, what do you call that? Local brewery, like there's a beer I think that's local to
there's also Oregon. I think there's a cameo of a couple people you would notice from like a video game
history. So spoiler, if you guys played Gone Home, that duck makes an appearance in the game.
Oh yeah you're right,
that weird the first duck or that statue duck that you see in Gone Home makes an appearance,
so it could be in the same universe too,
maybe. Yeah, we're not saying that the character from Gone Home is the same character in
there. There is one quote I don't know if this video game came up with, but it comes from one of the characters. I think her name is Evie. Where she says to another person, this is all dollars and cents. If you doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, I wonder if they're going towards like this corporate thing going on. That's
you have to find out when you play the game.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Tacoma. Is there anything you want to add to the game?
No, the game is like I think $20 right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, go and support them. It's the same price when Gone.
You're watching an IMAX film.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go by that standard of money versus game or time, I enjoy it.
Yeah, like we won't force you to like buy it or what we think of like how costs and gameplay goes. It goes personally. It's like if you feel like you could find enjoyment with $20 for like a 3 to 4 hour game, then I highly recommend it then. But if you don't think you can, then wait for the sale, I think. But I really think it's worth it, and I feel like supporting like an indie developer like Fulbright. I want to see what they make more, like what more of, like what ambitions do they have? Like, I could feel like they could make an actual film using this type of mechanics and technology. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe Tacoma Sunday will be a nice $200 million film.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But that's it. That's Tacoma. It's out now on Steam, I believe Xbox One, PCs. I don't think it's on PS4 yet.
No.
But I think they're probably going to, or even the Nintendo Switch. But yeah, we highly recommend it. That's Tacoma. John, before we leave, do you have anything to add on the 17 freaking awesome things in 2017?
No, not at this moment. But now I have Tacoma. I played Tacoma and listened to Off Book. Maybe someday, Ben.
Someday they will be there. Okay, anyway. Yeah. So where can they find you on the interweb?
They can find me on Twitter at under Abaya Arts. ABAIAYATS? RTS?
RTS,
yes.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can listen to us on the iTunes or whatever podcast app you listen to, The Freaking Awesome Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at the TFA Now.
Yes. I was like, TFA did you go now. Get it right? Wait, yeah, say that again?
At TFA Now.
Okay.
You can find us on Twitter. If you have any questions, recommendations, concerns, or just want to say hello, you could email us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. I believe that's it. Yeah, I think that's it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.